Hello and welcome to Finding Your Fit, a podcast from Gallen Education. Based in Madison, Wisconsin, Gallen Education helps students find success. We offer college and graduate school counseling, standardized test preparation, academic tutoring, and executive function coaching. Our podcast explores issues and ideas that students and families may want to know more about surrounding the college search and application process.
I'm Liz Jackson, Gallen's Director of Admissions Counseling.
And I'm Paula Wheeler, a college counselor with Gallen.
And today we are thrilled to be joined by my friend Eric Martinez, who is currently the Director of Junior, College, and Professional Player Development at Western Racquet Club in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. And Eric is the former associate head men's tennis coach at Marquette University. And so he's joining us because our topic today is collegiate athletics. And we're really fortunate that Eric is going to be sharing some of his wisdom about college coaching and recruiting with us. So Eric, thank you again for joining us today. And I wonder if you can start off just by telling us a little bit about your own background as an athlete and a coach and kind of how you've gotten to where you are today.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. This is exciting. I started playing. I'm originally from Mexico City, and I started playing tennis when I was 12 years old. That's when I played my very first tennis tournament, which is by standards these days is kind of late in the game. I started because of my dad. Dad took me out to the club, and I started playing and I fell in love with the game. And then after that, I kind of progressed through the junior rankings in Mexico. I was around top 10 in the country for Mexico, which is pretty good. And then in the US, the kids are pretty lucky because the structure here allows them to play at a really high level without leaving the country. But in other countries like Mexico, you have to leave your country to find more competition. So I played all over the world. I played in Europe. I played in South America. I played in the US a lot. And so the benefit of that is you get a world ranking as in the juniors, 18 and under. And that's how I got recruited. I got to, which it wasn't super high, but I got to 180 in the world in junior tennis in 18 and under. And then that allowed me to get recruited by some schools. I had no idea what I was doing when I was recruited. I got recruited by several schools. But one of my friends that was slightly older than I was, he committed to play college tennis initially for TCU. In Texas, and then he was recruited by one of the assistants there, and then he became the head coach at Northern Illinois, which is a small division. Well, it's not that small, but it's a Division I school in Illinois. And when it was my turn, he made arrangements with the coach, and the coach contacted me, and he said, "Hey, we got a scholarship for you. Would you like to come play for the team and get your degree?" And I said, "You know." I talked to my parents, and it was the best decision for me was to come to the United States and get a college degree and play on a team. And we had a really good team, and it was a great experience for me.
That's amazing.
Nice. Well, so for students who don't have college coaches that are coming to watch them play or, you know, taking notice, how should student athletes or would-be student athletes go about connecting with college coaches at the schools that they are interested in?
Well, Paula, I coached at Marquette University for 5 years. I was the associate head coach for the men's team. And recruiting was actually pretty tricky. There's a lot, I think people need to know that there are a lot of rules in place set by the NCAA that limit some of the recruiting practices that the coaches can actually do, and they can actually reach out to the kids. So I did recruiting for them for 5 years. There's I think an important date to remember nowadays is June 15th. I had to go back. The dates, the rules of the NCAA change constantly. The coaches actually have to take an exam to understand the rules every year in order for them to recruit the kids. So it's pretty extensive. So the recruiting process can be stressful for a lot of families and for the kids as well. The college coaches can start reaching out June 15th after their sophomore year. That's when the college coaches can start connecting with the kids and start recruiting them for their teams. Now, in tennis, tennis is very unique because the recruiting process is pretty international. You know, I'm from Mexico, you know, and for football, for basketball, for lacrosse, it's slightly different. You know, there's a lot more recruiting in the high schools. That happens in tennis. It's a little different because you recruit all over the world. You know, you can recruit, get guys. I had guys on my team from Spain, from the Netherlands. We had a couple of guys from France at Marquette. We had several different kids from Japan, Australia. So the recruiting process can get a little tricky, but just I think understanding that there's a lot of rules in place for the coaches as far as what they can do and not do, communicating with the kids, it's important for the parents to know.
Definitely. Well, and one resource that we usually sort of advise that families look at is every year the NCAA puts out something called the Guide for the College-Bound Student Athlete. And what I like the best about that guide is that at the back of it, it sort of shows you the timelines by sport and by division, because that makes so much sense, Eric, that, you know, sort of when you should expect to hear from coaches depends a lot on, you know, on the particular sport and even sometimes by the division that you're thinking of. I guess one thing is, you know, for someone who is, you know, a high school athlete and they would like to continue playing their sport in college, do you have any advice on how someone might sort of determine where they fit in terms of competitiveness? You know, how do you decide if you're good enough to play in college? And if so, you know, what level of play? Any advice on sort of how students should figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak mostly about tennis because that's my line of work and that's where I've worked most of my life. But in tennis, we have something called UTR, which is a rating system. It's super helpful for the coaches. Most coaches use it, and it's it goes 1 through 16. And nowadays, you can look up. You know, Liz Jackson, and you can know exactly what UTR she has. And then you can look at a school like Marquette and say, okay, well, Liz is an 8 UTR, and there are 8 girls on the team, and 4 of them are an 8 UTR. So that's a good way of knowing if you're going to fit in, if your level is going to be good enough for that school. Now, just like you mentioned, I think Division 1, 2, 3, or NAIA, there's all kinds of different levels, right? But I would say try to connect with the coaches. There are no limitations for the students as far as they connecting, they reaching out, them reaching out to the coach. The limitations are more for what the coach can do. When can they recruit? When can they communicate with the athletes? So my advice to the students is reach out to the coach. And so that the coach can then do a little bit of research, especially for other sports like football, lacrosse, it's kind of harder. I don't know exactly how they determine the level. You know, the other thing is like evaluating the student in a game or a match. In this case, tennis, you know, we would go to watch the kids play all the time before we would make any kind of offer. So it's not like they're going to look at the rating, like Liz Jackson is an 8, and they're not going to watch you play an actual tournament or an actual match and then just make you an offer and say, okay, come to our school. So I would encourage the kids to reach out to the coaches, you know, if they're interested on certain any particular school, to reach out to the coach, and the coach will give them a good idea of what level they need to have in order to be able to compete for that school.
That's helpful. I think another question is kind of in terms of with tennis, you mentioned that, you know, there is that ranking system that coaches can use to kind of gauge the ability, but what else do you look for in prospective athletes? How do you gauge their athletic potential, and how do you, are you looking for certain character traits that would make them an asset to your team? And if so, what are those?
Absolutely, Paula. That's a good question. Obviously they need to have they need to be somewhere in the range of the level that the school is looking for. But I was always taught to recruit character first. So if the kids are good teammates, I think that's a big one. If they are respectful, I think that's another big one for the coaches. Because when you get recruited, quite frankly, it's like a honeymoon period. So you're trying to get somebody to like you or to come to your school and, you know, come join the team. But then once that's over, then you have to rely on character to be able to stay on the team, you know. You have to be a hard worker. And you have to be disciplined. I would say discipline is a big one too. Because once you go play college sports, if you're not disciplined, you're not going to probably do a good job with all the things that you need to do, because you need to keep up with school. You need to keep up with the workouts. You need to keep up with the practices. And then you're on the road almost every weekend. So you need to be able to keep up and manage your time. Anyway, those are a few. I would say being a good teammate, having good discipline, and just overall being a good person. I think that those are important. Character first, because sometimes, unfortunately, we've had sometimes recruited some kids that are really good with their skills, but if their character is a little bit flawed, then they usually don't make it, even though their skill level might be the highest on the team. So character is for sure first for a college coach.
That's super helpful. And Eric, how do you, when you were recruiting, how did you try to assess that for a potential recruit? How did you talk to their high school coaches and, you know, or just sort of through conversations? Like, how were you trying to see if someone, you know, had that sort of, you know, the teamwork and the discipline that you were looking for?
Well, we always reached out to the private coaches of the kids. We had a kid from Philadelphia that was a super good kid. I recruited him. I went to Florida to watch him play. I talked to his private coach. His private coach told me that this particular player would take a bus. A public bus, 2 hours. He lived in Philadelphia, and the practices were out. It was a 2 hour bus ride to practice, and he would do that every single day, 2 hours there and 2 hours back, and he would do his homework on the bus. So to me, you know, when I went to see him in a tournament, it was the National Clay Courts in Florida. He lost both of his matches, but I didn't care about that, because he was a really great competitor. I knew he had extremely good discipline. I knew that he was determined to get better. And I knew that his character was going to go a long way for Marquette. So the results didn't matter as much. He was clearly in the range of the level that we were looking for. But I think that we for sure did a lot of research. You know, any coach that's worth its salt is going to do some research on the kids. You know, they're going to talk to their coaches. They're going to meet their families. And they're going to spend a lot of time with the recruit before they would make their, before they offer a spot on the team or a scholarship.
Yeah. That's what a great story about the, about that, student from Philly. And one question that, often comes up is sort of at what point in the recruiting process, you know, do coaches typically interact with admissions to discover whether a student is academically admissible to the university, assuming, you know, as a coach that you're interested in them athletically? How did that kind of work in your experience, and anything that you think, you know, students should know about that relationship between coaches and admissions?
That's interesting. We had at Marquette, we had, and a lot of the schools are the same, where they have a person in charge of international admissions, and they have a person in charge of American kids admissions. So we were constantly in touch with both. I was mainly in charge of the international kids, making sure that their SAT scores were high enough, their TOEFL scores were high enough. Every school is different. Some schools nowadays they don't use the test scores, you know, in the admissions process. But back then when I was coaching, it was the test scores, it was the SAT, the TOEFL, it was their grades. So with American kids, we would get their transcripts early. We would get their transcripts early and get an estimation of where they would fit in and if they would be admissible for the school. Obviously, athletics does help them a little bit. Depends on the school. You know, if you're going to an Ivy League school, it might not help you as much because you need to be really, really sharp with academics. A school like Marquette is also pretty strong academically, private school, but I think being an athlete did help us out, at least getting him into school. But then after that, they have to stay in school. So it's not just like getting him in. It's like they have to stay in school so they can play. So otherwise they would get suspended. They wouldn't see the tennis court at all. And it's pretty similar for most of the sports out there, but every school has a different process of admissions. You know, some schools still look at the test scores, and some schools do not. You know, some schools where I went to school, which is a big public university, my test scores in the SAT were not super high, and I was because I was coming to the tennis team, they kind of let me in, and then my grades were pretty good. I was homeschooled all through high school, so my regular grades were okay, because the system in Mexico when you're homeschooled is just it wasn't as advanced as what it is now. Now you can probably go online, and it's a lot better system than what I did coming out of there. But the admissions was always a super important piece of the puzzle. You know, they had to be within range, kind of like the tennis ratings, right? They had to be within a certain range with their test scores, with their grades, because we had to make sure as coaches too that it was going to be a good fit academically as well. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how good a tennis player you are. If you can't pass your classes and keep your GPA up, then you're not going to play. So that was kind of the story at Marquette. We had two people. We had a person for international students and a person for American students. And we definitely, for American students, we always got their transcripts in advance, and they would make an estimation of like, okay, yeah, you know, this student it seems like there's a good possibility that they're going to get admitted into the school.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's such a good point, that it's sort of like the, you know, the academic standards are not there just to be sort of make things difficult, but they're there because there is, you know, an extra burden on student athletes in college that, you know, you have more responsibilities than the average student because of practices and travel and workouts and things like that, that ensuring that people are actually really prepared to do that work is really important.
So, so we have a couple of related questions involving advice to high school athletes that want to think they want to play sports in college, but also their parents, parents of athletes who are hoping to play in college. What would be like your top advice for each of those groups, the students and the parents?
Well, that's a good question. I would say, Paula, to the students is you got to work hard. You got to be disciplined. You got to, you cannot, if you're going to play college athletics, the percentages, I think the percentage, I'm going to tell you the percentages of, I think they're for all the athletes in coming out of high school. I think it's 3% of the high school athletes that play in high school, they actually get to play college athletics. It might be just for tennis. I'm pretty sure it's maybe it's just for in general, but it's 3% on the American high schools that come out, they go to play college sports.
Is that for all of the divisions?
Yes.
Wow, that's a pretty low.
Yes, it might be just for tennis. I don't. I'm not sure if it's just for all the sports, but 3%, and then Division I is 1%.
Wow, tough odds for sure.
So if you're playing college sports at any division, you're doing pretty well. I think that that's really it's difficult to play in college. It's difficult. People don't realize that the amount of time you have to spend and dedicate to your sport in the weight room, going out and competing, you know. So just because you play in your high school team doesn't guarantee that you're going to go and play in college automatically. Most of the people that make that transition, because it's a different level, so they're the people that are dedicated fully to their sport and their obviously their academics. So my advice to the students that are trying to play college tennis is be disciplined, work hard, and be consistent. Be consistent, because we have a lot of kids that have, it's like going in a cold pool of water, right? We have kids that they'll just jump in and do it all. And they have some kids that are like, okay, 1 foot in and then 1 foot out. Yeah. So 1 foot in and 1 foot out it's very difficult to get there. The percentages are low. And for the parents is to basically support your kids. I think that's the best advice for parents. I have two kids myself that play tennis, and it's really difficult to coach them both. So I think the role of the parent is to support, you know. Just support their dreams, make sure that you give them the best opportunities. But I think also, like we said before, we mentioned discipline. I think discipline is it comes from home. Discipline comes from home. So I think that if your kid is seriously trying to play some college athletics and college sports, I think the discipline has to be from the household, because the parents are the ones taking all the kids, driving to the competitions and driving to the matches and driving to the games. So I think the attitude of the household needs to be on the same page.
That's really good advice. That makes really good sense. Yeah, thank you. Eric, I know that this is probably kind of a funny question, because as a coach, as a dad, as, you know, a coach to your kids, you probably don't have a ton of time just to yourself. But we always like to sort of close out the podcast with a question about, like, what is something that you like to do for fun outside of your professional life? What's sort of a hobby that you have?
Okay, that's a good question. I have a good answer. I have a good answer, I think. Well, before Marquette, actually after Marquette, I was hired at Western Racquet Club. And then for 2 years, I was hired in South Carolina in Hilton Head. I was running one of the plantations with the tennis side of the plantation, and I worked with one of my friends, one of my Australian friends. His name is Lee, and Lee was a huge fan of brewing beer, and so you know, Fridays and Saturdays we would go to his house and he would teach me how to brew beer. So I know how to brew some beer. So that's what I do in my spare time. I haven't been brewing lately because it's been so busy, but I enjoy the process of making the beer. I think it's an interesting process. It takes about 2 weeks to ferment and to get ready. And then when it comes out, and if it's good, especially if it's good, I've had some where they're not good, and then you have to dump the whole thing out. But yeah, that's what I like to do in my spare time.
That's awesome. Talk about discipline. You have to wait the 2 weeks to see if it how it turns out. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a treat to hear from you, and we're really grateful for your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Eric.
Having me. Thanks, Paula. Thanks, Liz.
Of course.